Good to be grateful. Certainly this week is an opportunity for us to focus on what we're grateful for. And I love what that video alludes to, that, you know, the variety of circumstances and life experiences and even the things we're experiencing right now, in all of them, the task is to find a way to be grateful to God. So I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful that we get to do this thing of finding God and following God together. So I'm glad for that today. And that leads me into what I want to talk about today. I got to tell you about an experience in my life. The year was 2005, and we lived in Colorado, and my sons were like 14 and 12 and 9, I think, at the time, and Amy, my daughter, was like 3. We packed everybody up in our car, and we hooked up our trailer, and we headed off across the country, and we drove for 2 days. On the second day of that journey, we got right to the middle of nowhere, and then we kept going, and finally, we arrived at this place. It's a farm, really. And it's the location of a Christian music festival called Cornerstone. And it's kind of got a Woodstock vibe to it, if you know what I mean. So I pull onto this property after 2 days in the car with all these people. And the first thing is the entrance is lined with protesters, with signs. You know, God hates rock music, that sort of thing. And then I go into this place, and there on this farm are 15,000 or so college students camping. And this is the best part, one really long row of porta potties. And it's at moments like this when you ask yourself the question, what am I doing here, right? Why am I here? And I was reminded of the answer to that a few days later when one of my sons declared, "This is the best vacation ever!" And so we went back 3 times. Sometimes you just have to be reminded why you're here, what you're doing, right? You ever ask that question when you come to church? What am I doing here? And I mean, just for some of us, getting here is hard. I mean, just the task of getting the motor running in the morning and getting here, collecting and convincing and helping a group of people who live with you to get here, or just trying to set aside all of the relentless pressures of your life, of your job, the things, the agenda that's going on at home, whatever it is. It takes effort to get here. Probably took you a lot to get here today. So you deserve an answer to that question. What are we doing here? And the short answer is this. We're giving God glory. That's what we're doing. We're giving God glory by becoming like Jesus so that the world can know and that the world can have the life that only Jesus offers. Because that's why the church exists. This church, the church, exists to bring glory to God. And we do this. The people who make up the church do this by being like Jesus and by bringing that life-giving message of the gospel, the good news, to the world. That's why we exist. And here at Rose Drive, we say this all the time this way, right? You see this. It's everywhere. Our heart's desire is to be formed in Christ for the sake of others and the glory of God. Those three little phrases, they capture what we see as our calling by God and who we're supposed to be. Being formed in Christ, that means becoming like Jesus. And it describes that spiritual process of transformation that occurs in our lives when you give your life to God, when you surrender your life to God and He comes to you and His Spirit dwells within you and He begins this process of transformation in your life, making you more like Jesus. And it explains why you do some of the things you do. You know, like forgive others. Forgive yourself. Serve. Give out of your time, out of your resources to others. Things that you say, on my own, I don't think I could do this. I find myself doing things that I wouldn't be able to do on my own. That's a reflection of this transforming work of God in your life. That's what we're doing. We're becoming like Jesus. And we're choosing, we're deciding to do the things that Jesus did for the reasons that Jesus did them. With this purpose, always with an eye to others, so that others could know about Jesus and that life, so that they can follow him too. And so then as a church, we participate, we do certain things together, right? We worship, that's what we're doing together today. We come, we participate in worship, and it transforms us. Worship, if you will let it, will transform you and make you more like Jesus. Jared talks to us often about the dialogue with God that's happening when we come into this space. How God reveals himself to us and we respond to what he reveals. And he reveals more of himself to us and we respond to that. And it's in that very process that God does his work in us. We become more like Jesus. We serve together. And we find that when we rub shoulders together and we help others by relieving their suffering or meeting their need or assisting them, we find that it changes us. It makes us a little more like Jesus, just the process of doing that. And part of that is because that's exactly what Jesus did. He met the needs of others. And then we live together in community, and it changes us. It transforms us. That process of living our lives together in close proximity, it changes us. That's what we do, but there's something bigger about why we do these things or how we do these things. And the truth is, we seek to do these activities together as a family. When you read the New Testament, there's a lot of metaphors, there's a lot of pictures for what the church is, but one of the most important is the family of God. That's who we are. You know, you cannot become like Jesus on your own. You can't. By definition, becoming like Jesus, doing what Jesus did for the reasons that Jesus did it, it requires living in connection with other people. Family, relationship. And that's why Jesus said what he said to his followers. This is just before he goes to the cross. He says to his followers these important words, "A new command I give you. As I love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And this is the heart of these relationships that operate like family. They're relationships that are marked by love. "A new command I give you," Jesus says, "love one another." That's not the new part. He told them to love one another before. It's the second part that's new. "As I have loved you. In the same manner that you have received love for me, the ways that I have demonstrated and shown you love, love one another." It's required, and it's relationship. And the reality is that this can be scary, right? In family, love, it can be scary. Anybody got any anxiety about this Thursday? Right? Okay. Family, right? My son Andrew, who's in Colorado, he called earlier this week and said, "Hey, good news, I can come home for Thanksgiving." And we're like, "Yay!" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm flying to LAX Wednesday night." And we're like, "No!" Right? Family. Rooted is one of the ways, the primary ways now that people are finding their way into the family here, into community with others. And it's so fascinating and true that at the beginning of that experience, so many tell us how reluctant they are, how challenging it is to think about joining into a group, into a community with others. And that's understandable because of the experiences we all had. right? Sometimes people have been vulnerable and they've received judgment. Or they've tried to walk with others and they've been, you know, closed out or shut out. They've had hurting experiences with others, and it has this challenging, and that's true. That's part of the deal, because living together as family, as extended families, right, we know it has its challenges. We offend others. We hurt others. We disappoint others. And that was just my Monday, right? That's how it is. But Jesus holds out this vision of people living together like family in relationships marked by love, because he knows it's the best possible life. And it is the best possible way to live the life of Christ that he offers. Love's the key. You have to love one another. And you can't do that from afar. You can't just do that in your head. You do that in the presence of others. And the reality is, this is the very best way. When I've talked over these years to the people who have been at it the longest here at our church, at Rose Drive, those who you would say are the most satisfied, when they talk about their experience here, they never tell me first about the activities or the services or the programs they've been a part of. They always tell me about people. People that stood with them. People that came looking for them. People that didn't leave them. People that loved them. People that had fun with them. As they know, they discovered that the key to this life, it's in community. And then that's what we're hearing when people come out of just 10 weeks of Rooted, even though they were reluctant to begin, that they write to us and they tell us that this has opened relationship with God for them. And when they start by looking at a room full of people and saying, I can't do this, they end by saying, I can't stop doing this. That's what love does. So, although there are things to do together, activities that make us like Christ, the truth is, what we're doing here is seeking to live together as a family as we become like Jesus. And so my desire for you today, my encouragement to you today, is to take a step towards family. Say hello to somebody. Ask them a question about themselves. Have someone for lunch. Go all in and sign up for Rooted. Or walk towards somebody. Resolve something. Family. The truth, though, is that this, love one another, this presence and proximity and community, it's not just a great way for you to experience life. It's a great way for others to experience life as well. So an amazing thing happens when we live together like this, when we love one another the way Jesus has loved us. Did you see what he said? No, you didn't, because I didn't show you. By this, he says, everyone will know. Do you see that? By living and loving together like family, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the way that people will know definitively that you belong and have found life in Jesus Christ is by the way that you live in love and family with one another. That's the way they will know. And the clear implication is that they will know that, and then they will want to know that. That by observing and seeing and being a part of the way you live and love together, it will draw them to know God. That's the point. We exist for these people. We exist for the sake of others. We do what we do with an eye towards them all the time. Because this is the amazing plan of Jesus, for people to know and to know that we belong to him And then by implication, to be drawn to follow him too. That's why we exist, right? That's why we keep writing this on the walls and putting it on the screen and sending it to you. Formed in Christ for the sake of others, so that they'll know. Because the church does exist to glorify God. And we do that by becoming like Jesus, by doing what Jesus did for the reasons that Jesus did, and by helping others know and experience the life. And by definition, becoming like Jesus means helping others know and find God. That's what Jesus did. When we observe the life of Jesus in the Gospels, and he's helping and he's ministering and he's serving and meeting the needs of people, he's always doing it with an eye to help them know God. To know God better. And here's the thing, though. How in the world is everyone going to know you by your love for one another? How's that going to actually happen? Think about that for a moment. If by the way that you love one another, other people will know, how in the world are they going to know? And the answer is this. It requires presence. Not Christmas presence, your presence. Proximity, observation, experience. No one's going to know that you are a follower of Jesus by your love for others unless they see it, unless they experience it for themselves. You have to be with people, connected to people. That's why we like to say around here, we want to be known as much for what we do outside our church as for what we do inside our church, because no one's going to know anything if we're always holed up here. We have to actually be living there. We have to actually love our neighbors. And that's why this new wave of life, of life groups that are starting, that are coming out of Rooted, that people are joining, that's why we're encouraging them to live out their commitment to Christ, to live out their commitment to love one another in front of, in the midst of, alongside their neighbors. To find ways to convert some of the time and some of the energy that we spend trying to meet here, meeting there with them. Because I believe that every person in North Orange County deserves a chance. A chance to hear, a chance to know about God. And I believe that's going to happen best when they have an authentic experience with a genuine believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've noticed this in our culture, but they are not banging the doors down to come to church. They're not dying to come to church. They might be dying to have an authentic experience with somebody who loves them, loves Jesus, and they see that in their lives. And the place to do that's in our neighborhoods. It's in our communities. It's in our schools, in our workplaces, in our coffee shops. That's how it happens. And by the way, that's when the seats in a place like this fill up. After the people of God live in loving family relationships in the presence of others, so that they can see, they can observe, they can look to Jesus. Love one another. That's what Jesus said. This is how they will know, if you love one another. One time, some years ago, again, one of my sons was a swimmer, competitive swimmer, and we were at this swim meet, big swim meet. And there was this particular swim race. It was at the end of the day. It was a final, and it was big, 16 lanes in this pool. And my son is swimming in the race. Gun goes off. It's a backstroke race, and he's swimming really, really hard. I'm in the stands watching, and about a quarter of the way in, I notice something amazing. He's winning. He's in front, right? And so I'm in the stands, and I'm cheering, and I'm going bananas, and he's just swimming. He has no idea he's winning. He goes all the way down the length of the pool, turns and comes back, and he's still winning. He gets all the way to the end. He wins the race. And I'm going crazy, and he has no idea that he's won. I just want you to know that I get the job of standing on the sidelines, sitting in the bleachers, watching. while you are working so hard and learning so much and trying so hard and living your life, I want you to know something. You might not realize this. It's working. This crazy mission that we have, this being formed in Christ for the sake of others, it's happening. Several weeks, a few months ago, I sat down with our staff and we drew it all up on the whiteboard. All the things that we've been talking about accomplishing. Worship that transforms us and community that draws people together and using our gifts to reach and serve. And we wrote it all out of the board and I told them, do you understand? It's working. It's happening. And I just thought it would be good for me today as your pastor to tell you, you might not get a chance to look up very often and see, but I do. It's working. Right in front of us. So many people are experiencing transformation. So many have begun a new journey with Jesus this year. People are who have gone through Rooted are telling us in writing about their faith growing in unexpected ways, about their life with Jesus being deeper than ever before, about feeling closer to God than ever. Did you know that on Friday night we had a Rooted celebration? We always have a big party at the end of a session. 13 people gave testimony to the work of God in their lives by being baptized. It's working. People are serving in new and amazing ways. We've told you before about this crazy thing. We have this food pantry twice a week where we feed people. And they meet on Wednesdays. And Jason Moronis, one of our pastors, we were up on the balcony across the way, and we were standing there watching this thing happen, where we serve literally hundreds of people every time the doors are open. And we're standing up there watching this happen, and Jason looks at me and he says, you know, when we were in charge, meaning the professionals, there were like two people a week we fed. It's working. Groups are ministering to kids who are stuck in the justice system. Our people are working at after-school programs in some of the hardest neighborhoods in our community. People are ministering in schools and in senior living facilities, and on I could go. Groups are starting. Groups are growing. People who didn't know each other before are finding life together. People are loving their neighbors in tangible ways. In this year, we decided, let's love our city. Let's love Placentia. And 1,200 people showed up and said, yeah, we'd like to do that with you. It's working. A few weeks ago, we had a block party. It's one of our primary opportunities to connect with our neighbors. And if you are here, you know it's working. It's working. And one of the great ways that expresses the way that God is at work among you and the way that you are doing it and succeeding is your generosity. It's amazing to me how generous you are. Over and over again, a need comes up and you meet it. And we're seeing this in our church. It's resulting in amazing things. Like, for instance, we paid off $2.3 million worth of debt this year. Things are happening. I just want you to know. I just want you to look up long enough to recognize the fact that it's working. God is blessing us, and he's blessing me through you, that's for sure. And so there's more to do, of course. There's always more. I mean, until all of our neighbors know, there'll be more to do. And that's okay. That's why we do this. And so this year, if you hear from us, and you will, an end-of-the-year appeal, that's the spirit in which we do it, because there's more to do, and it's working. And God is blessing. So what are we doing here today? What do we do together? Let me tell you, we're here giving glory to God by becoming like Jesus. Doing what Jesus did. For the reasons that Jesus did it. And that's causing us to live together in such a way, like a family, that lives out these scriptures, where we love one another. And we do that so that our neighbors, so that everyone will know the life that Jesus offers. And be encouraged, because God is blessing us. I'm going to pray for us together today. Will you join me? God, today in my heart, I'm full of gratitude. Grateful for the opportunity to just stop for a minute, to look up, to recognize that you're at work, that you're blessing us. But more importantly, you're forming us. Every day, more and more, we look like Jesus. And I'm grateful for people who've committed to living together like family. And I'm grateful for the opportunities you're giving us to let our neighbors know about the life available in Christ. And so as we reckon with and count our blessings this week, we're going to start with you. And we're going to say thank you. Thank you when we couldn't do anything about it ourselves, you came for us. And you solved the problem we have with God, which is our sin. And that through Jesus, you made it possible for us to be forgiven and reconciled to God. And in that, we recognize you've given us this crazy mission where we become like you and help others know. And so we ask, in a fresh way, God, in a new way, would you bless the work that's happening here? And in all things, we pray that you would show yourself to us again, afresh, anew. We love you. We love being together. We love being your people. And we pray this today in the name of Jesus, who makes it all possible. Amen. Amen. God bless you.